I'm thankful to, for us all to be able to be here one more time. And I would like for us to consider the day that we, today is. Today is the last day of the year 2023. And as I look back over the past year, if you would add up all of the significant events that's happened in my life and a lot of our lives in the last year, if we'd add those all up and then think about what it would have felt like if we'd have been handed that on January 1 of 2023, we might have got kind of overwhelmed, wouldn't we? To think of the water, so to speak, that has went under the bridge in the last 364 days or whatever it is, that would be to be faced with a list of this is what's going to happen and maybe even when it was going to happen, that would... And developments that happen that's happened around us, it's just it'd be overwhelming. So, trying to draw our minds into thinking about what the next year could potentially hold, and of course, I don't know. Wouldn't want to try to prophesy about what next year will hold. But I just know that by the time we get to the end of 2024, we're going to probably feel somewhat like we did about the end of 2023. It's like, I don't know if I could have handled all of that if you'd have told me right up front. I woke this morning and pretty early, really. And I just felt like I had it was just kind of a unique thought came to my mind, and as I was meditating on that, I went ahead and got up, and I just realized that most of the time when I am asleep and I transition from asleep to awake, I realize that I've had some kind of dream. I don't remember my dreams necessarily, but most of my dreams, what causes me to wake up, or at least this is my philosophy or my thoughts anyway, this just dawned on me, is not that I have the same dream every time or anything like that, but it's like I'm dreaming about doing something and I just can't quite get it done. There's something that's keeping me from getting it done. Maybe because I need to actually move my arms or my hands. And I think what I do, this is just what I think's going on because I don't really know because I'm asleep. I think I probably physically move. Or tell myself something, you know, maybe I speak out loud or something, my wife might, but I think I move my arm like, you know, I've got to get that, whatever I'm trying to do, and when I make a move, it wakes me up. Anyway, that's what my opinion is, what it is. It's in that subconscious, I don't really know what's going on. But there's this element that I know I need to do something, and when I go to do it, all of a sudden I'm transitioned into being awake now. I'm not asleep any longer. You know, we could have been equipped with, you know, our new car, many of our newer cars have some kind of message center. And as you're driving down the road, and if you... if your tire pressure gets low, it might come up and say low tire pressure. It might even tell you which tire is low. And we could have had some kind of little message center. The Lord could have made us that way, to where, you know, it said good morning to us in whatever language we learned, you know, and it maybe we could read it in our mind's eye. You know what I'm talking about? Or we picture things in our mind, and maybe we could have been equipped with a little internal buzzer. And maybe some of you feel like you've got one of those, you know, that when it comes morning time, it, you know, you feel this little jolt or buzz or something, and you know it's time to get up. It's time to start your day. But I wasn't. I realize how what seems to make me wake up. You know what? I have a little testimony there. I'm thankful for a victory the Lord has given me, because as a young person, I used to have troubling things, and what seemed to wake me up was I was in some kind of fight, like a physical altercation of some sort. And not that I was a fighter, it was just that it was a conflict of some sort. And it was always distressing to me to wake up like that. And I just began to ask the Lord, and when I woke up and realized what woke me up, Lord, I'm just going to take a rebuke against that. And I am thankful the Lord has taken that away as I've gotten older, and I really appreciate that. You know, I'm talking about this because there's so many unknown things out there in our sleep. I know they do sleep studies, and they make all kinds of observations and measuring people's brain activity or lack thereof when they're asleep, and they have these conclusions about what causes people. They have a lot of data out there, and they have conclusions they have drawn and all that, but it's still pretty murky, and it's still pretty inconclusive as to what's going on. And I'm thinking also this morning about the parables that Jesus taught, and would like to turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we'll begin reading in, I believe it's the 10th verse. And it says, and his disciples came unto him, said unto him, his disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Jesus, why are you talking to people in parables? Why don't you just explain to them exactly what they're supposed to be doing, or why don't you just spell it out to them? You know, wouldn't it sometimes when you're asleep, wouldn't it be nice for you to just for something to just trigger you when it's time to get up and you felt like getting up? Wouldn't that be? But there's something we have to have. A mindset that when our alarm goes off, or when we are having our rest disturbed by a dream that we're trying to pick up a glass of water, or when we reach with our hand, we wake up, or whatever it is, we have to have the initiative within ourselves to do something about it, don't we? We have to get up. Our alarm goes off in the morning, our body causes us to wake up. We have to put something into action, or nothing will happen to us. I say nothing will happen. It'll be a little sleep, a little slumber, and so will come our demise, spiritually, physically, all of that. But his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, why are you just always talking parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, In hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they have closed, lest at any time they should see their eyes with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So he was answering his disciples when they asked him, why do you talk in parables all the time? He says, you're in a place that few people could possibly be in. You're in a place that those in, from ages gone by would like to be in. You're in a place to receive insight and understanding, but they still had to apply themselves. How many times when Jesus told a parable, did they go to him afterwards and say, would you explain that to us? You remember that happening in the scripture? So there was this level of obscurity that the disciples had to, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for them to actually be filled and satisfied and gain understanding, they had to push towards it. They had to seek it. They had to inquire about it. So just as sometimes we wake up and our dreams are incomplete, and sometimes parables seem to be obscure and all of that, because we don't know what, you know, we still are gleaning things, I believe, from some of the parables that Jesus taught. We still are comprehending that Jesus' parables can apply to the age that we live in. When Jesus and his disciples were here, a wheeled vehicle was not common, much less a wheeled vehicle that could propel itself. And now we have wheel vehicles that not only can propel themselves, but can navigate for themselves as well. We do. And there are parables that will apply to us today that applied equally well to the disciples. And I believe the reason it was told, the truth was given in parables, was so that it could be applicable down through the ages of time. And so we're faced today with the ending of one calendar year, because time is what we're given by the Lord, and it's our in our best interest to manage our time to the best of our abilities. And it was brought up in Sunday school about making sure that every 60 seconds, every minute, that we are aware of time going by. It's something that we should be cognizant of and think about. I'm not trying to overload us this morning. I'm just saying, that's part of our our material life, is being aware of time and utilizing it to our greatest benefit, our greatest potential. Brother Rob was talking about earlier how that time becomes very critical in his line of work, because if some little mishap happens and he gets kind of behind schedule, then everything is a hurry after that. But if he can kind of stay ahead of his schedule, there's this sense that time is working for him instead of against him. I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but I think that's what he was saying. So we have a whole year, Lord willing, out in front of us. a whole year. And it's obscure. To me it is. If you know exactly where you're going to end up a year from now, I'd like to know how you know all that. But I don't. I don't know where I'm going to be a year from now. And we could talk about all the potential variables here this morning. A lot of things can happen in a year. A lot of things happened this past year. But it's incomplete data. Just like my dream. I honestly don't know what I was thinking about in my subconscious state this morning. I just know that at the end of my sleep, I did something that caused me to transition to being awake. And I was doing something. I don't remember what. I don't have a clue. I don't know if I was starting a bolt or driving a nail. I was doing something with my hands, and I just quite couldn't get it there until I woke up. And then I realized I wasn't doing it after all. I just don't know what I was doing. So we look out into the future, the day, the year, the day ahead of us, the year ahead of us. I don't know what it all holds. So I ask us this question: how do we plan for something we don't know anything about? How do we plan for that? We plan to equip ourselves where we can capitalize on the opportunities that come. It's the only way I know how to do. I'd like to go to the book of James in the New Testament. Let's go to James chapter 4. And I would like for us to consider something that James said. And coming from it, these verses I'm going to read here, there is a phrase that we use, a lot of people have used down through the years, and it is, maybe it's something that's been pretty common in our culture over the years, and I see it fading away, and I'd like for it to be in place, at least in our lives. Because I don't know what the year holds. I just need to be prepared to capitalize on what the Lord allows to come my way. I'd like to go to James chapter 4, begin reading in verse 13. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Go to now. What does that phrase mean? Maybe you ought to stop and think about what you're spouting off and saying. I think that's what it's saying. Go to now. Stop and think about what you're saying. "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Some of you may want to stay up and see the new year end. But when it gets daylight, I don't know what it's going to hold. I got up this morning and looked out and everything was covered in frost. The odds are it will be tomorrow morning. But we don't know that for sure. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's just a vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." A little time. You know, by the time that my life has expired, it'll appear, no matter how old or how long or whatever it is, by the time it's gone, I will soon be forgotten. It will soon, no matter if I become famous, if I become notorious for something, I will soon be forgotten. There's things that we have totally forgot about people that were pretty famous while they was alive. And the verse 15 says, "For what? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So as we go through the new year, I don't know what it holds for us, but there's a phrase that's been around in our culture, and it seems to be getting less frequent. The phrase of "Lord willing." Lord willing. Lord willing, tomorrow I'm going to get up, and I have a plan for tomorrow. And I would say if we went around the room, there's several of us that have some things that is on your agenda for tomorrow. I'd just like for us to keep that in mind throughout this next year. The Lord give us time. And I'd like for us to keep that perspective, Lord willing. This is what I'd like to do. Lord, if you would help me be able to accomplish the things that I feel I need to accomplish. You may have a repair. That's what I'm going to do tomorrow, Lord willing. I've got something I need to fix. Lord willing, maybe you've got something else you're going to do. Lord willing, you'll be able to do that. I don't want to fail to keep the Lord in all that I do. And he said here, go to now, those of you that say, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. You know, things could change. Things have changed for numerous people over the last 364 days. There's those that thought they could be doing, they thought when they began the year, they probably didn't really consider what the year might hold. And I want to keep this in mind as I go through this next year, Lord willing, I'm going to do this or that. Lord willing, I'm going to be successful at whatever I'm going to attempt to do. Lord willing, I'm going to start and finish a project. You may have a 6-month project, and that looks like it's very doable now, doesn't it? You may have a project that you know is going to take a few months. Lord willing, we'll take care of that. I'd like for us to turn to Psalms. Psalms 27. And notice what the psalmist says here. Beginning in the first verse, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what may transpire. I don't know what's going to happen health-wise, temporally-wise. You know, the big thing that's probably on the horizon for our nation is a presidential election. There's many other things, many other factors that have the potential of changing the scope of what our nation looks like, our local environment looks like. And it says here, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We want that, don't we? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. This is something he noticed in the past. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You know, things could get pretty serious. There's events unfolding right now that could impact us, that could be along this line. Though a host should encamp against me, he says, my heart shall not fear. Don't know what the year is going to hold, but I know, Lord willing, he'll protect me. And he'll keep me through. And he will open up opportunities. You may have an opportunity that could be beyond your, if this expression will fit here, beyond your wildest dreams. An opportunity for rejoicing and fulfillment. And all. I don't know what the year holds, but Lord willing, we're going to be in a place we can take care of what the Lord allows to come our way. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, that's something that I've endeavored to do in the past. But this year coming, I don't know what this year holds, but I want to keep that fresh, foremost, and up front in my life. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I want to put myself in a place consciously, intentionally, that I know that I can dwell in the house of the Lord. I know He's talking about our personal relationship with Him. And I want to challenge us all to cultivate that personal relationship with the Lord. But I want us also to realize that let's make this an objective to be able to be in the house of the Lord in this year coming up. He says, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." I want to be upon something solid. I don't want to be on something that's squishy. I don't want to be on something that's not stable. Something that moves with the thunders and the rain. And that I want to be on something that's solid, not on a house that's built on the sand. Well, your resolutions, New Year's resolutions, I don't know how many of you might make some of those. I've heard about those in the past. Not necessarily from you all, just I've heard of people talking about their New Year's resolutions. Will that be compatible with this verse? Will they? I hope they will. Lord willing, I want these verses of desiring that to dwell in the house of the Lord, personally, collectively, I want that. I want that to be one of my New Year's resolutions. I believe He'll help me if I will be resolved to be in His presence through the year. Let's turn to Colossians, back over in the New Testament, in Colossians chapter 3. And notice what the Apostle Paul says over here in Colossians 3. We'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." We don't know what the year may hold. We don't know what the opportunities might be. But he says the advice here, it's not necessarily just for New Year's, but it's for someone that is endeavoring to be a Christian. He says, put these things on. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So, all of these things are things that will equip us for the opportunities and the obstacles that we may face next year. If we will cultivate an appetite for bowels of mercy, bowels are something that does its business inside my body. It's deep within me. And I need the bowels of mercy deep within my character. It's going to help me because I don't know what the year holds. Bowels of mercy, it says, and kindness, humbleness of mind, a humbleness of mind, not thinking more highly of himself than he ought to think. You know, that kind of grates on all of us, doesn't it? When you come in contact with somebody that seems to think that they hung the moon themselves or something like that, it just don't set well with us. But when we meet somebody and we interact with somebody and afterwards we find out that they did something really important, it's like, wow, you would have never guessed that they were that capable or that important or whatever it was. We want to cultivate a humbleness of mind. You know, it'll help us no matter what the world, the new year holds. It'll help us be able to be equipped. It says the humbleness of mind, a meekness and long suffering, being able to forgive. You know, we're probably going to have an opportunity next year to forgive somebody. What's the odds? Did you have to forgive anybody this past year? I'd say we all did. And we're going to have that. And the more we get forgiveness and an attitude and a mental preparedness to be willing to forgive someone else, realizing that we all have things that trip us up, you know, the more we equip ourselves, the better we'll be able to handle the new year coming along. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace. You know, the Lord wants us to have peace. Don't we have a song that says there's peace in the midst of trouble? That sounds kind of like a paradox, doesn't it? But you know, if we go in with this, not having this Lord willing attitude, and we set our sights on something that's maybe a little bit far-fetched anyway, you know, you're not going to be able to keep peace through the month of January, much less till December the 30th of next year. But when we go in realizing, Lord, by your will, here's some things I'd like to do. I don't know what's on your bucket list. I don't know what is in the things that you want to do. As we were driving down to Guthrie, the other day, first of the week, Anita and I was talking about some things that we wanted to do this next year. Talked about the feasibility and all of that. Well, all of that needs to be subjected to Lord willing. Lord willing, that's the things that we'd like to accomplish. If we don't do that, if we don't approach it that way, you know that we're not going to have peace. And peace that's not in the home is that's a terrible thing to try to deal with, isn't it? Let's go to Luke, the 16th verse here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Lord, help us to be able in all that we do to encourage one another in our walk for the Lord. One of the objectives that we ought to do when we come here, or ought to have when we come here, is try to be an encouragement to one another. And I feel like that as a congregation, we do. I don't overhear somebody criticizing somebody else by saying, well, you know, surely they know that their jacket don't coordinate with their shoes, or their, you know, why on earth would they wear that pair of pants with that shirt or that blouse with that? What? I'm glad I haven't overheard any of that. But instead, let's try to encourage one another, because what's going to happen at the end of the year? Our peace is going to be better. You know, there's places that you can go and you'll hear little snippets like that. Did you see them? Did you hear what they said? Lord, help that not to be amongst us at all. He says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's where that Lord willing comes in again. Whatever we're doing, do it with this kind of mindset. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, when we say, Lord willing, I'm going to remodel my bathroom, or I'm going to, whatever your project is that you want to do, when you say, Lord willing, this is something this is important to me. I want to get it done. Lord willing, I don't know what's on your agenda. But when you're done, and we've done it because we said, Lord, I need your help here. I need some wisdom. I need some understanding. I want to keep the peace in my heart. I want to be able to dwell in your tabernacle. I don't want to exclude my spiritual life. I want to keep it up to date. I want to be a stronger Christian. I want to be more in tune with you as the year goes on. And when we get done with that project, whatever it is, we can say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. Thank you for giving me the strength, the abilities, the time to get it done. Lord, help us to keep that in mind. I'd just like to say, in closing, if by chance we have aspirations for the new year that would not be pleasing to the Lord, I don't know what that could possibly be, but I know the devil would like to come along and give you something to do that would lead you away from the Lord. And if there's anything in your heart and in your mind this morning that would potentially bring you farther away from the Lord, I'd like to ask you to reconsider. I've heard of people that made New Year's resolutions that sounded like they needed about four helpers to get it done. And then I don't want us to be unrealistic. But neither do I want us to not have objectives in life. But I want us to keep this in mind. Lord willing, help me to be able to accomplish the things that I think would be important for my home, for my family, for my spiritual walk with you, for my level of achievement, whatever it is. Lord willing, I don't know what the year holds. I don't want to try to bring up something real negative or shocking, but you know, there's been some people that I know very close that's had some major changes in their life, and I don't know what this year holds ahead of us, but I know I want to approach it in the right mindset. I want to say, Lord willing, there's some things I'd like to do. And I want to keep my objectives in something that it would be pleasing to him. And I want to cultivate my relationship with you all and with the Lord to where I can dwell in his pavilion and be in his tabernacle. And it would be something that would be edifying and a blessing to the body of Christ, to the congregation here. And I want you to have a desire for that thing too. You pray for me.